Hello, and thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Okay, what we'd like to do today is simulate a situation where Dr. Lightman is teaching a group of people. They could be Israelis or from any other country in the world, where the country that they live in or the organization that they're working for decided to send them to learn here. Dr. Lightman is their teacher. And Dr. Lightman, what are we learning today? Today we're going to learn about the one general law that operates on nature as a whole, including us. And this law applies to all of us. And according to how we advance in life, we see that probably there's some kind of a law working here, where from generation to generation, for thousands of years, nature in general, which is the still, vegetative, animals and people, they're created by nature, they come from nature, and they develop. And our development is gradual, from generation to generation, even from year to year, from day to day. We develop more and more. But in which direction are we developing? For this, we have to examine what is this law that is working on us. We see that there is a kind of a mechanism which is above us, that develops the whole of nature in a certain direction of becoming more intricate, more qualitative, better formed, more interconnected in all its parts. And whether we want it or not, we have to realize the orders of the law that is working on us, forcing us to develop. All in all, it's just one law, because we see how all parts of reality, everything that we see on Earth, is drawn in a certain direction. And from studying the laws of nature, which we study by the different sciences, with the help of science, we see that every time that we want to succeed in something, then knowing these laws leads us to success. We better know how to distance ourselves from bad things and how to near the good things, how to make less mistakes. And therefore, if we'll know what this general law is, in which all the rest of the particular laws of physics, chemistry, botany, biology, astronomy, also the human body with a psychology are included in, all those things that we know about and don't know about yet that we still have to discover, laws that we yet have to discover in science, it's all for our benefit. The more we discover, it's for our benefit. Science helps us make our life better, more convenient, such that if once a person had to sweat from morning till evening, as it says, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food, then today one person can feed thousands of people with the help of technology and chemistry and all the agriculture that we have developed, and the same with clothes and construction, education, culture, everything. Thank God, today we relatively have the strength and we understand the laws. The only thing is that we're not that well arranged. But the truth is that we can arrange our life in a beautiful way, have a great life. And from what we know about the world, the number of people, the different populations, their condition, we see that all in all, we're producing different things in quality and quantity that can provide a good, nice, normal life for the entire world without any problem. The only problem is that man is egoistic and he can't correctly arrange the potential, the ability that he gets from knowing the laws of nature. That we have received all the plenty and abundance into our hands, but there are those that have plenty, power and money and equipment and whatnot, and others that aren't even getting their basic needs. Meaning the problem is human nature, which doesn't allow us to have a good, nice, safe, healthy, tranquil life here on Earth, on our beautiful, nice, blossoming planet. And therefore, our entire goal is to understand human nature, to research it, inquire it, and to understand how can we make a good life for ourselves? How can we correct human nature in a way that he'll want to make a good, nice, and convenient life both for himself and also for others? And this stems from the knowing and understanding of the general law, which is becoming revealed only now in our times. A law which is revealing in nature, which is the global law that includes all the rest of the forces in it. And whether we like it or not, of course we don't like it, but this law, this force, is pushing us to be more interconnected, more interdependent, both among people and also among countries and nations and civilizations, that all in all the direction is, from research we can see, and many scientists speak about it, that all in all, according to this developmental law, the law which develops us, its direction, or the direction in which it is leading us, is to become homogeneous. That will be so interconnected that everyone will feel that he is dependent on all of humanity, and all of humanity will feel that they're dependent on him. This is still far from us, but we see that this is the direction. And again, many scientists speak about it, and even though that it, in the meantime it is against our nature, we're not built to accept this law because everyone thinks only about himself. The truth is that people don't understand that they're all interdependent. But if we'll feel it, if we'll see it, really, if I'll see it with my own eyes, that I'm dependent on everyone, then first of all, I'll want to make sure that they'll be well off, that they'll feel good, and they'll have a good attitude towards me. The problem is that we don't see how round the world really is, how interconnected it is. And how do we come to that? Actually, this is the entire reason for our situation, the reason for which we're all in crisis. And this crisis is forcefully disconnecting us from our ordinary life, the life that we got used to in the past dozens of years, a life in which we're used to working a lot, earning a lot, spending a lot, building things that are necessary, that aren't necessary, just in order to produce them and sell them and for everyone to accumulate some kind of a safety net for themselves in the bank, pension, healthcare, to have a house that is as safe as a castle, to have a bank account that I'll be sure that till the end of my life and maybe even my children won't need anything. It's obvious what we would like to come to. And here we see that this direction was probably incorrect, that nature is actually breaking all of our plans, and that even the wealthiest people, and all the more the others, which are the middle class and the poor people, which are most of humanity, do not achieve this dream. Nature is advancing us towards the very opposite. For us to find security, prosperity, development in our connection, that we'll get what we want actually from there, and not that everyone will try and achieve a good life for himself personally. This is what we see from this general crisis, which is now unfolding and is really breaking all the previous rules. And this means that we are in a new era, where for the very first time, instead of all the many different laws of nature that are as if dispersed and not connected, we start feeling that there is a new law working on us, one law, where all of us together are under its umbrella, and all of us together, like one bundle, are drawn in one direction, pulled in one direction. It was never so in humanity that so different countries are in the same state. It could be North America and South America, Europe and Africa, Asia and Siberia, and even Australia and New Zealand. It doesn't matter where. Everyone is undergoing the same process of descent, of so-called depression. And it doesn't even matter what kind of society are we living in, what kind of civilization, what kind of religion, what kind of an environment, how is our society arranged. Suddenly, a great big cloud came down on our world and is starting to envelop all of us together. And if it's really like the scientists are discovering, and what we feel, both according to the crisis and according to our connection, that we're all interdependent, that everyone knows everyone else through four people, that the butterfly effect is working, that now we have such researches that even a person's thoughts, they influence the climate. There are already such researches, the extent to which earthquakes and tsunamis, they are dependent on different relations and the way people live. So what follows is that we're really facing one law, which is uniting us forcefully. And if we want to have a better life, then we have to think, how are we going to head towards it instead of going against it? And for us to want and connect in a good and nice way, if we'll go with the laws of nature and not against them, where then certainly nature will break us and defeat us eventually, because the laws of nature, these are laws. We can't change them like we do in politics or in society, that we feel like doing things one way or another according to our different calculations. But this is a law that is above us. It's like the laws of physics, chemistry, biology. We can only study them and use them in the right way. Therefore, what follows is that We have to study this one law and join it as much as possible. And this law is the general law of nature. And here we're reaching a question. What is it exactly that we have to change inside ourselves in order to be more adapted to nature, that if we're balanced with nature, then we're in a good, nice, and convenient state? We feel no pressure from nature. Where then that pressure manifests as problems, wars, divorce, health problems, plagues, and so on and so forth, tsunamis, natural disasters, and so on. So what do we have to change? And here we come to the research of human nature. Human nature is a desire, the desire to live, a desire to feel good, a desire to enjoy, meaning constantly wanting to fulfill myself by something. That's the desire. And these desires, they're relatively empty. I want to rest. It means that I want to fulfill my desire for rest. I want to eat. It means that I need to fulfill my desire for food, and so on. Meaning, as always, I have desires for food, sex, family, money, honor, control, and knowledge. And these are the basic desires that include all the rest of the desires. That every kind of desire that has to do with my body, food, sex, family, and the desires that have to do with our human part, which are money, honor, control, and knowledge, these desires, they divide into many other sub-desires. And if I want, if I have to, if I have no choice, if I understand that it is worthwhile for me to connect with others by these desires in order for all of us to be adapted to that one rule of nature, one law of nature, therefore I have to correct this desire. I have to correct all of my desires, each and every desire, where all of these desires together are called the will to enjoy, the desire to receive fulfillment. And then, how do I have to aim these desires for them to be for the benefit of everyone? That if I'm engaged in how to fulfill my personal desire, that's called an egoistic desire. If I direct each and every one of my desires for it to also be for the benefit of all of us together, where I take into consideration only the benefit of everyone together, that I have no choice, we're like one family, that I have to take everyone into consideration and think about everyone as one. Just like the law which is forcing me, which is also one. If so, I have to direct each and every one of my desires for the benefit of everyone. And this is a problem. How do you do it? Even if I understand and the scientists tell me about it and psychologists and politologists and everyone, they tell me that there's no choice, that I have to do it, and I see from life that I have no choice. But my nature doesn't think so. It thinks that I have to first of all receive for myself, to first of all provide for my needs, and not to think about others. Others, maybe, maybe too, if I'll benefit from it. But it's not enough for me to benefit from it. In a family, that's not how I think. In a corrected family, I immediately think about everyone as one. And we're not thinking in terms of, if they'll feel good, I'll feel good. And this is actually what this law wants to tell us, what it wants to compel us to, that actually we have to think about everyone as one, the entire world as one family, and to get used to it. What do we do then? Everyone has to help everyone. For all of us together to build such an educational system, a new kind of education, integral education, that connects all of us together, that through different activities, through the different lessons that we take, like now, it shows us that we have actually no choice, and how can we connect? And in nature, there's one more very special law that gives us a kind of hope to get closer, to start standing against our ego. It is a law called habit becomes a second nature. And we see it on ourselves that if in childhood or later on throughout life, through several actions, I get used to doing something, suppose reaching a certain result, good result, or abstaining some unfavorable result, through certain actions, these actions, because I tried them out many times, I get used to it, and for me, it becomes a demand, just like my desire to enjoy, that I can't enjoy in any other way. And this registers in a person, and this becomes a habit, depending on the extent to which society necessitates him to, and that everyone does it too, the extent to which a person gets support from each and everything that he sees in life. And therefore, if we arrange education, and along with the education we arrange a supportive environment for each and every one, then we can advance towards a state where a person is inspired by others, by the extent to which they care for others, through the media, through different explanations, through public opinion, that we're doing this on purpose, that we're acting out towards each other, that we're as if good, that we as if think about everyone, that we're one family, that as if I care for others the way I care for myself. This is what we have to act out all the time. To try and do everything as if we're already corrected. What does that give us? Gradually. Through the habit, through public opinion, through the influence of the environment, I start thinking in this direction. I start getting an impression from it. I start getting a kind of an inner habit that I can't do it any other way anymore, and it becomes as the nature that I was born with, even though that I got it from the outside and that I was coerced to accept it, and so on. And therefore, using the law of habit becoming a second nature is necessary. And then it depends on the extent to which a person will all the time be under his own personal pressure and the pressure of the environment in order not to forget about the acting and to advance that way. And about the acting, we can say that we're like little kids that are playing, that they too, as if it seems to them that they're doing something important, that they're building something, that they're doing something, and we know that it's a game, we know that it's not serious, we know that there's nothing real or tangible about it, and we make a mistake, and we rebuild, and we destroy it, and rebuild it again, but as a result of these games, as a result of the different ways that they play, they advance and become grown-ups, adults, wise, understanding that without games, a child would grow up to be a savage, a small animal that becomes a big beast. And therefore, big institutions, very wise people sit with psychologists and together build special systems, special games, out of dice, out of dough, also in the shape of cars, dolls, with the help of equipment, computers, other things. And this is how we advance. And also our bodies can't develop without play, which we call sports, but it's also a game where through different exercises we accustom ourselves to do things that an ordinary person can't do without exercise, without play, without repeating that action many times, and we see that we reach tremendous achievements. It's all through habit. We see how people that live together, the impression that they get from each other, the way that they feel and understand each other, how even without talking, they're internally talking to each other. And it's all also according to the habit where they live together under one roof. And as a result, they simply feel and see each other, whether they like it or not. And this way, they become included in each other. This is how once in the past, nations and entire civilizations were built as a result of the inclusion between different people, strangers, until they took on the character of a certain nation. And this is how they advance. And therefore, the rule of habit becomes a second nature. It helps us reach a state where even from the unwanted, unnatural forms, we will reach a state where we will accept these forms, which we have chosen against our nature, reaching a new form that already exists in us, and by that we actually build ourselves. We were born only with the egoistic will to enjoy, where I don't care about anything, like a newborn baby that thinks only about himself, feels only himself, doesn't even feel the world around him. Only after a few weeks, he starts opening his eyes, starts hearing, starts activating his senses, and starts perceiving what he wants from the environment, from life, first of all through his mother, for all of his needs to be fulfilled. And this is how we grow, meaning our entire egoistic desire that we were born with, we have to understand, we got it on purpose this way, for us to build above it by habit becoming a second nature, a different form, an altruistic form, the form of bestowal, the form of connection. And we are the very opposite to that, each one on his own, wanting to benefit at the expense of others, not taking anyone else into consideration. And all of us are in resistance and collision with each other. And nature created in us this kind of form on purpose, where specifically out of this negative form, we will build the good, positive form of our connection by using the forces that are at our disposal, but we will build it consciously. And this way, we will reach a state where all of us are connected together and we will reach this entity called Adam, a human being, which is similar to the general law of nature, which is utterly good, bestowing, loving. And then we'll understand that that law isn't bad, that all of these bad forces that we feel on ourselves as blows, as families that are getting divorced, as drugs, as the fear of a nuclear war, in the form of collisions between countries, health problems, ecological crises, where soon we won't know how to keep on living, the financial and economical crisis, where soon we won't know how to buy our food, we won't have what to buy our food with, and so on and so forth. We'll feel that all of these forces that by nature seem to us negative, they're all in order for us to form. Precisely against them, our forces of bestowal, our forces of love, our forces of connection, where those things that we see now from that one law that is working on us, which today is a negative law, it is all in all felt negative in us because we're opposite to it. And that's how it also is in our life today. When I'm facing a cold wave or a heat wave, I have to understand what I have to do. In order to balance the heat and the cold to reach a normal temperature. Suppose I'm under pressure when I submerge, or when I climb mountains, or I rise to high altitude, I see that I'm lacking air there. So I make a kind of a compensation through different corrections in order to balance myself with nature. By what instrument, by what device can we balance ourselves with nature, which is now presenting us with different negative influences? Really, we feel calamities on all sides. Humanity from day to day feels itself more and more united under one general blow, calamity coming down upon us. So, from all we talked about till now, it's clear to us that all in all, what's happening to us is because of our disparity of form with nature. What we have to do is we have to compensate. We have to work against that, that nature shows us negative things. If we'll overcome ourselves, if we'll correct ourselves, if we'll be exactly like nature is, according to our ability, then we will feel these things as positive things that we're balanced with. And then the climate will calm down, relations in the family, the problems between the countries, the economical crisis, and so on and so forth. Everything will calm down and we will feel a good, nice, and tranquil life. So, now we are gradually lit to make this change, to make the change inside us, between us, and this way we'll come closer to the general nature and feel ourselves good, feel ourselves in a good, nice, balanced state in all aspects. How do we play this game? If we learn that nature is all one law that is working on all of us as one, that wants for us to balance ourselves, for us to learn how to do it, that then we start understanding the entire world that we actually live in through our connection. We can achieve this connection through a good attitude, through good relations between us that we don't want, but we will achieve that by acting it out, by using the law of habit becomes a second nature. And then how do we actually realize it? We have to actually realize it in our environment and human society. Meaning, that we have the position of a person towards the environment, towards society, that we have to build such systems, such relations between man and the environment that everyone will feel that he owes the environment, that the well-being of the environment depends on him, and his well-being depends on the environment. And here we really have to work on reorganizing the entire shape of humanity, which we have developed by our ego, which is all in all only in order to give each and every one according to his egoistic demand. And therefore today it doesn't work. And therefore the crisis is called a general crisis and an integral one. So, if we'll arrange a person's attitude towards the environment and the attitude of the environment towards a person in a new way, where we're interdependent and the environment demands of a person the right kind of attitude, then what does the environment have to do? It has to give a person an example, like a mother towards her little baby, her little child, how to correctly behave. So the environment, it has to completely change its influence over each and every one of us. First of all, it has to do with the media and the educational systems that have to immediately change, to change themselves in a way that it will give each and every one of us the need to change our attitude towards each other, to change our attitude towards the environment, because the environment is like the incubator where we will develop correctly. The heat and moist and the air and everything there is in the best possible way in an incubator in order for the egg to hatch in the best possible, quickest, healthiest way. So, we have to build such a greenhouse around us, good, nice, which is the environment, first to feel good, warm, convenient, for us not to want to come out of there. It's like an embryo that develops in his mother's womb, that develops in the safest way, where everything there is arranged nicely, properly. The very same way we have to build our environment for everyone to develop in a good and nice way. And then, when a person builds the environment for his own benefit, for the benefit of everyone, where this is how everyone has to be towards everyone else. So eventually he builds our great big family. We become brothers. So what follows is that our attitude towards nature, towards that one rule, that one law where all of us have to be between us as one, is realized in the environment, and therefore our attitude towards the environment to build all of these laws there is more important than our attitude towards the nature itself, where the main thing is building our environment. And it's not in vain, then, that thousands and millions are now losing their jobs, becoming unemployed, that we have to open courses for teachers, for educators, for organizers, where by this work, each of us becomes towards the others both a teacher, an educator, an organizer, a helper, a caretaker, and therefore everyone has to undergo these new studies, acquire a new profession to become an Adam, a human being in the new society, where each one of us has to rise to the level where he understands what is going on in nature, what is going on with him, and what kind of attitude do we have to present towards each other. And according to the researchers that we see, this mutual influence that starts influencing each and every one, there is no person that can escape this influence. It compels him. It encompasses him, and whether he wants it or not, he changes. And just like our children learn from the environment, only through examples, this is also how we learn, and all the time acquire new forms of behavior and attitude and values only through the examples that the environment gives us. And therefore, we don't even have to count the number of our desires, whether it's food, sex, family, money, honor, control, knowledge, or it's divided in each and every one into hundreds of other different desires. But all in all, we needn't engage in the desires themselves. But how do I use them? That's what's important. Meaning, how do I direct them? Meaning, my intention. when I use my entire self, all of my desires, that's what's important, where I invert the usage of all of my abilities for the benefit of society in general. And then what happens is that from me, we become we. And from we, which is the collection of individuals, we reach the concept of the one. And this one is balanced, is connected with the one law that is organizing us and that is with us in a good and nice connection. And then man becomes a human being, an Adam in Hebrew, that he understands his general nature. On the way, he learned plenty of internal psychological laws, all the laws of reality and everything, and then he truly becomes included of everything there is in nature. He has reached the greatest, highest degree of that one force which is working on us, influencing us in a way which now seems to us as a crisis, but is actually inviting us to join it. And from this we actually learn how to become an Adam, a human being, how to reach the best possible, safest, healthiest, most convenient state. And therefore, we even have to thank that state, that period in which we are, which is leading us to a new era, to a world which is all good. And therefore, even that today, we're only starting to understand the entire process, and it seems to us that our life is miserable, and what are we preparing for our children and grandchildren? What kind of world are we preparing for them, that people themselves don't want to have children, and we ourselves don't understand what we're doing here? It's actually on the contrary. A crisis, according to its real definition, it means a new birth. This is the meaning of the word crisis, a new opening for a new humanity. And therefore, here, we have to come out of our talk with light in our eyes, with great hope that is actually waiting for us. Therefore, we will now start realizing, implementing this one law on ourselves, and in a very short period of time, a few weeks, we'll start feeling on ourselves how it really works, how habit becomes in second nature, that we can't live without a good attitude towards each other, and if for some reason we fall out of this state and we forget, then we remember those times when we were together, connected, where we felt each other. What a preferable and warm state that is, pulling us back to it once again. So let's hope that with the help of mutual support, we will be able to reach a state where the habit of acting will bring us to a nature of good and love. You were talking about one law, one force. Of course, we have to add the opinion of scientists about it. About what? That the world is global, integral, that we're in a holistic world, meaning one. There are plenty of researches about it. Thousands of scientists are already starting to think in this direction. Now, about the one force that is leading us and controlling us and so on, it's a kind of a... There is a fundamental dispute between two perceptions, the one that says that there is some kind of force, doesn't matter how you call it, some upper force that controls the whole of creation, and there is a perception that says that there is no such thing. So you are supporting the attitude that there is some one force, something that religions talk about. No, it doesn't have anything to do with religions. I base myself only on research. Only on research, practical research, what we see from nature, without any prejudice, having nothing to do with religion or faith or a certain direction, which has no foundation, but as if it was built historically or wherever it came from, but only according to the research of nature. If so, then what does it mean that there is one force, one law that includes all the rest of the laws in it? What is that? Were I to now show you this talk according to how I think it should be, then you wouldn't ask, because I would insert into this talk different clips by scientists, researches, experiments, and the results. You see, I'd convince a person with the help of science that this is what's going on. And then I think that I would prevent these questions even before they were asked. I would answer them. You're saying that there's one opinion, another opinion. There could be 1,000 different opinions. In the meantime, we are basing ourselves on research, on what we see from nature, and also that the world is undergoing a global calamity. So you can say, there's no calamity, there's no crisis. It's not black or white that I show you, and you can also deny that. But we have to bring proof, like Bala Sulam writes in the article, The Peace. An empirical scientific research about the necessity of the work of God and so on. We'll get to that too. We'll explain it in a simple manner and hopefully clear and convincing. No, I'm not talking on the level of saying that there is no or there is a global crisis. I'm asking something much more fundamental. That nature is one, and we're just scratching a few pieces of information off its surface, and it seems to us that this information isn't interconnected. This was thousands of years ago. Now, chemistry and biology and botany and physics and all of these sciences are interconnected. We see that everything consists of atoms. When they're connected one way, we get one thing. Connected another way, get another thing. We see that the elements are comprehensive, the forces are comprehensive, only on each and every level, still vegetative, animate, and the speaking, that force works according to the level of that species. But it's the same force. That if the force in molecules and atoms is the force of rejection or attraction, afterwards it works in us as the force that contracts and expands our lungs and heart. And on the level of the mind, these kinds of contradictions between fact and doubt and so on. But still, there are two forces operating one against the other, led by one force that balances them, because all of nature is drawn to balance. This is from research and more things, other things. There's much proof and knowledge in this respect that there are two forces in nature. It doesn't contradict that there's one law which controls both of them. I don't understand where you're taking this from, that everything is simply scattered all over. On the contrary, science, especially in our times, is pointing us at the fact that all of us are all interdependent. The crisis on the human level forces all of us to see that we're all in one system, and that is also a part of nature. Only nature, on the human level, But suppose we research the climate or different other phenomena in the world meaning on Earth, that being our entire world. So we see how everything is interconnected, only in the meantime we have a very partial picture of it, fragmental. Because, all in all, how much do we perceive from our world? But because we have a bad feeling, we're undergoing very unpleasant states. Therefore, it's worthwhile for us to research these things as quickly as possible, and by that, to invert the bad forces into good forces. If we don't do that, then please recommend something else. I'll put it differently. Leave the laws of nature aside. Suppose you don't get it. You're saying, I'm a simple person, I'm a farmer, I'm a construction worker. To the point. What do you want? So I'm telling you to the point. Do you understand that if everyone will treat you nicely, it'll be good? Yes. Good. If there will be no cruel people on the streets, that will be good for you? Yes. The children can go outside at any time of the day or night, will treat each other nicely, will help each other, everyone will have what others have, and so on and so forth. If we will reach that instead of our miserable life, this will be better? Yes. So leave all the proof in the middle aside, as if I didn't say anything. I'm just telling you one thing now. You know that the environment influences a person. You see it from life, you see it from education, you see it everywhere. We can show you movies about what happens in groups that are manipulated by persuasion, by the group persuading each and every one of its members. We can convince a person to think that black is white if 20, 30 people around him will talk about it that way, for sure. And there are facts about it. You can't deny it. That's how it is. So if there's the influence of the environment over a person, that's one thing. So let's create such an artificial environment where we will all bestow good attitude towards each other. We will all force each other to behave in a good and nice way. And if anyone jumps against the good behavior, we'll take care of him. First in a nice way, and then in a not so nice way. He can leave our society altogether. We'll throw him out. And then, if you have no choice, because we want to have a good life. We want for everyone to have everything that a person needs. Food, apartment, family, health, pension, vacation, and so on and so forth. Normal things. Without zeros in the bank, but for him to have every day what he needs. I need cottage cheese in the morning, I need soup and meat in the afternoon, I need a salad and something in the evening, cup of coffee, glass of beer, television, wife, kids. I need it. I'm a human being. You want it? Go ahead. You have the opportunity of building a good and nice society, where everyone cares for everyone. And this can be done only if the environment start treating each other this way. No, may they simply treat each other in a good way, even because we have no other choice but doing it that way. But I'm telling you, no. Furthermore, there's something higher here. Because we treat each other this way, we're acting it out towards each other, this good and nice behavior towards each other in order to build a good and nice environment, that we accept this law of artificial behavior between us, it turns into a habit. It becomes our nature. And that's who we really become. That up till now, we were savages. Everyone wanted to eat the others. From now on, if we'll act out if we'll play this game, then we invert ourselves. We really invert, like a glove. Now, everyone, in a certain period of time, will become the very opposite. Not a savage, but a human being. And this is how we reach an entirely different humanity. And there open up more options for our development, but no point in talking about them right now. By achieving balance with nature, I feel nature. Suddenly I discover such things, such abilities. I build such instruments. I turn the world upside down because now I know the laws of nature by becoming like it, by becoming like the whole of reality. Now, tell me, what's unrealistic about it? Let's act out, because we have no choice, and we don't. And build such relations. It all depends on the education, the influence of the environment. So, all of us are adults, smart people, we suffered enough, we see a threatening future up ahead, and this is what we recommend. It's not mysticism or anything else. And I don't see any ways or options to escape this. I only want to prevent rather than cure, because all of the bad influences from nature come because we're not adapted to the environment with respect to these influences. Every blow that I feel, it's because it points at my disbalance. It's like I feel cold. True? You have to heat things up. You have to dress warmer. I feel noise, right? You either have to get rid of it or shut your ears. You have to do something against each and everything. Yeah. What I see is that on these lessons that you gave us, the word that repeats itself more than any other word is nature. I'll tell you why. Because today, we're discovering that we're in a certain bubble that is influencing us, working on us, and is necessitating us to do something. We're surrounded from all sides, and we have no place to run to. This is why I relate to it as nature. And what I discover is the one law, more and more, that works on each and every one, on all levels, and this is the general law of balance in the global integral system. And this is also something we learn from systems, that there's just one law that works to balance the system. You know, the law of entropy, that nature is drawn to the best, most convenient, balanced state, like water, that are drawn to the lowest, most convenient place. This is the direction of nature. And according to this direction, instead of being all scattered around, we have to unite, we have to be united. And therefore, this is how we feel the crisis today. This is according to research. Everyone talks about it. Those who are dealing with human society, that we have to unite. Yeah. I hear a lot about it, but that nature is such a central part of the story. When you're talking about climate changes, diseases, things that have to do with the weather or our body, okay, this I understand. In my perception, this has to do with nature as the cause, as the central player in this respect. But now, suddenly I start seeing that the central player called nature has a much greater influence than I thought it has, where I was used to thinking about it in terms of ecology, my body, and things like that. And it's becoming the big boss that's managing the world crisis, and in this classroom there are people sitting here that their organizations went bankrupt and so on, and it all comes from that one place. And the subject of this lesson is the one law, and it comes in a kind of an extreme way. And on the other hand, when I previously asked you about this, about the one law, you said, leave it aside. Do you understand that if everyone will treat you nicely, then everything will be great? This I started to explain to you on the second part, meaning that it's possible without saying nature and the one law. I can show you actual proof. But if we give a person a general education of the global integral world, tell me, what does global integral mean? I don't know. This is what we're learning. We're learning that the entire world is interconnected. It's one round integral system. What does integral mean? That all of its parts are interconnected. And all of these parts are operated by one law. One law that brings everyone to connection and balance. And that I call nature. I'm not ascribing anything to this nature beyond what we see in the still vegetative, animate, and speaking level. I'm just saying that all of these laws that exist, they belong to the global integral system. And all of them are under one law, which is the law of balance. Homeostasis, that the whole of nature is drawn to it. And it's also a physical law, that everything's drawn to calm, still, comfort, static state. Minimum entropy, minimum dispersion of energy. Like here you have heat and cold, gradually it has to reach some kind of equilibrium and fall into place. Pressures and everything, that's how it works. It's a general law that there's no point in arguing about. And the most obvious way, it's called the law of thermodynamics. There are a few laws there. Law number 1, 2, 3, and you can open any textbooks for 6th, 7th grade and see. I finished high school and I have a BA. I never heard that there is one general law that's controlling the whole of nature. I'll try to show you, explain about it. Okay. I also studied about it a bit. But I'm telling you, besides that, you don't necessarily have to talk this way. Even though that by our teaching, I would like to give a person the tools that he will establish himself on, for him to see that the world is round, that everyone is interdependent, that everyone is under one influence, and that we have to keep one law. It is my obligation to bring a person to look at the world this way, from this perspective, of course. Besides the acquisition of knowledge, we also educate a person. He has to come out with philosophy and psychology and lots of knowledge. And it's not over in one day. We continue till he's 120. Till the end. The approach of the one law that we talked about today, from what scientific field does it come from? this is purely scientific. But from who thinks that? What scientists, from what field of science does it come? Where? How? What? I mean, it's pretty surprising, comprehensive, includes everything that was, is, will be. You are including a scenario of the development of creation, meaning that this entire game that we're playing, that we're living in, it has a plan, a program, a purpose. Wait, you're talking about other laws here too. No, these are things, thoughts that came up during the meeting. You're talking about the law of development that starts with the Big Bang, and to this day, you're getting into the matter of, is development random or it obeys certain laws? So we also talked about it on our previous meeting, that the way Apple develops, the laws of development, we talked about it. We have to talk about it more, but this is the way. Look, again, you're right that what we're lacking here is a scientific platform. That's true. According to your approach, creation is developing according to a certain plan, of course, and I have to bring evidence from science which say what I say. Are you talking about religious scientists? Not at all. Okay, I'm not that sharp in sciences, but one thing I do remember. At large, there are two approaches to understand life. The one is that says that there is a plan according to which creation is developing, and the other says that there isn't. Anyone who keeps to the approach that there is a plan, it's considered religious. Incorrect? So, I'm wrong. Yeah? So if you can explain, please, because to this day, this is what I was thinking. In nature itself, it has no plan. I'm not ascribing it to the upper force. I'm saying that if I want to develop something from number one to number two, that number two will be more developed than number one, then I already have to know what number one is, what number two is, and to develop it accordingly. And we see that that's how it happens. We don't see that nature is making mistakes on each and every step. It's not. But it exactly knows how to develop each and every creature in the best possible maximum way towards what? Towards its balance with the environment. Balance with the environment. This is the law of development, and it's working on us right now as well. Does such a creature need 40 legs or 4 legs or 2? Does it need half a meter of a tongue or 10 centimeters are enough? And so on and so forth. Nature develops each and every type of desire on each and every stage in the best possible maximum way in order to reach balance with the environment. That is the law of development. And you don't need an upper force here. But by that we develop. Now, we, as a human society, how do we bring ourselves from our current state to the next state where we will be balanced with the environment that will feel good? Here, the law of development ends. In our days, right now, it's ending. I have to choose the good future form where I'm in balance and to head myself in that direction. This means that we are in a special kind of crisis, that there has to be an intervention on behalf of man here. Man has to grow and understand what really the whole of nature is, what is the law, what is the direction. And now I myself have to go and build my development by the environment. I am developing myself by the environment. Nature only awakens deficiencies in me, so I can't sit quietly. I'm in crisis. But how to get out of the crisis? We don't know. Why? because I have to know what is the next state. I have to research it, understand it, to feel a real lack and need for it, and to act out with the help of the environment. I have to build the nature which forces me to develop correctly by myself. How is that possible? It's possible because I have to now be instead of nature. Not to let myself go and to develop by being pushed from behind, that it will develop me by its plan, by its mind. We're in a state now where we have to take that plan, to take the mind, to build the system of development, the incubator, and develop. So there is a developmental plan. There is a developmental plan because there is a developmental force, formula. It's called a plan. If I'm in an imbalanced state, and my next state has to be more balanced, is there a plan or not? If here I have plus 40 and here I have plus 10 Celsius, is there a plan for the future? There is. Plus 40 and plus 10, they amount to what? Something in between. True? Yes. So it's a plan? It's a law of nature. A law is a law. Wait a second. You simply don't understand what a plan is. I'm sorry. There is a law and there is a process which that law keeps. That's called the plan. Okay, so if to conclude what we're talking about, I'm trying to explain what you're saying to myself. What does it actually mean? What it actually means is that today you talked about the one law, one force that has, that this law that manages our entire existence since ever, if I understand what you're saying, is going to bring humanity to a certain place. Yeah? So, a few questions about this. First of all, who knows about it that already came to that place? Wait a second. Darwin is also talking about laws. Everyone's talking about laws. I'm not asking about laws. Of course, there are laws in nature. You're talking about some superior law that managed... No, incorrect. You did not understand. Just as Darwin, if there's a creature in a certain state and that creature has to reach another state, how do we know that it has to reach that state? If it gets there, we'll know. But how does it know what it has to come to? It has urges from within. What urges? Do they follow certain laws? For sure. For sure. So the laws push it to come from state one to state two. Yeah. So there's a process. Yeah. There's a plan. Why are you afraid of this word? I don't understand. It is a word that to this day I relate to as something religious. There's a plan, there's a director. I have nothing to say. If this is how we were educated, then fine, but won't this is how we were brought up? Ask people. People are divided into those that believe there's a plan. If I let this go, will it fall? Yes, it's a plan. Gravity is working on it. It's a law. It goes through a process? Yes. Can you say in advance where will it fall? Yes. Calculate everything? Yes. So, you're God? You're the upper force? No. How not? I researched it in the past, so I have data that allows me to understand what's going to happen. Same thing here. We're doing the same thing now. The very same thing. Nothing changes. Tell me what changed. Nature forces us to take money from the rich and to give it to the poor. There is such a law. From what I hear, there is such a law. Take this law only. In every place, instead of nature, put in some other word, but it's going to be the same in biology, zoology, economy, and everything. And turns out that nature necessitates you because there's nothing besides nature. Okay, so we have to conclude this talk. Thank you very much. We'll continue this on our next show. Till next time, all the best.